You've been listening to Mentoring Matters, Mentoring in Today's Business World with hosts Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson. If you have a question for Rainey, Dave, or their guests, please call us now at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to Mentoring Matters.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Rainey Petrin from Manager Mentors, as well as Dave Carson. And we're both here today to discuss the issues surrounding matching. Also want to let our audience know they can email us with any questions they have at eradio@management-mentors.com. All right, Dave, when we took our first break, we were discussing the issue of self-selecting a mentor versus forced matches on the part of an organization. And so we were talking about those key differences. What other thoughts might you have on that, Dave?
Well, here's something that's quite interesting, Renan. You alluded to this in the first segment of the program regarding forced matches or professional matching as part of the formal mentoring program. And you're right, sometimes that could be looked on as a bit negative, you know, I'm forced into this relationship. But I've discovered something else, Renny, that when I've been doing the training or maybe in a casual conversation with mentors and mentorees at a break in the training or maybe even further on in the program when we meet on the quarterly meetings, which is something we recommend in our programs and it works really well, someone somewhere will say, by the way, Dave, how were we matched? And I don't know if that's happened to you, but
yeah,
it's happened several times to me.
Yeah.
And you know what? When I explain to them that, yes, we have really thought about this, remember you completed a profile form that didn't go in the bin, we looked at that and we compared it with everyone in the program, and then we had a discussion. When they realize that there's time and effort being put into that, I think it helps cement that match. People say, you know what, they obviously see something in this. And it begins to make them think completely differently about the match.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that often what's really what's comforting for me is when you'll get somebody, you know, we do our quarterly sessions, you know, when we get together with the pairs on a quarterly basis to check in with them, and you'll get things like, you know, I don't know how you people did the match. It was a perfect match. I mean, it's just, we couldn't have, you know, you couldn't have matched two people as well as we have. We're working really well and so forth and so on. And I think that's very comforting. And what we tell people, is that's what you say, is that we've gone, there's a process, that the process is thoughtful and makes sense, and its sole purpose is to make a good match. We don't make any matches that aren't good. For example, you know, if you end up with a pool of people, and usually, you know, we'll end up with, 20 or 30 mentors and, you know, 20 mentees or something along those lines. And if you run out of people, you don't simply say, well, you know, we're going to make this match anyway, which is whoever's left. We always decide on if we don't have the right person in the pool, whether it's a mentor or mentee, we go out and find that person, or we don't make the match, one or the other. We just want to be clear that we need to have, one of the things we do, Dave, is, as you know, is we ask the matching committee at the end what level of confidence they have in the match that's been made. And that's a helpful way for us to be able to judge how comfortable we are, and we only make those that we have a certain percentage of confidence in. And that's how that's kind of part of what we do. But this really leads to the issue of what's the purpose of the match?
Well, that's right. And just something that, you know, I think we should mention again, Renny, because I think it really is important. We talked about diversified matches and diversity mentoring programs a week or so ago. It's important to make a match irrespective of these issues. So the question is, why do we make a match? Well, a mentoree is looking for something in a mentor. But, you know, I think there's something else that you mentioned, Renny. Sometimes we look at mentors as having specific skills, specific knowledge areas, and that's it.
Yeah.
But there's more to it than that, really.
Yeah.
Because the mentor is a facilitator.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, in the article I quoted earlier, this in the first segment, To Match or Mismatch by Richard Hale, he quotes here, which I think is really to the point you're trying to make. It says, Mumford, a researcher, stressed the importance of considering the learning purpose, that is, knowledge, skills, or insights, when selecting the method of development, and suggests that mentoring is less appropriate in terms of skills development because there is a limitation in terms of which skills a mentor can identify. You propose that mentoring can be effective in developing knowledge, but this will be limited by the knowledge of the mentor. However, mentoring was seen as a powerful way of helping the mentee to achieve insights. Now, I don't necessarily disagree with what Mumford is saying, but I think that he has a little bit of a boxed view here, because he's correct. Obviously, if I'm a mentor and I'm expected to mentor on a given topic, and if I don't have that expertise, that mentee will not get that information from me. But that limits really the role of the mentor to that function. What he's not seeing is a point you just brought up, the word you use, which is one that we use all the time, which is the mentor is a facilitator of someone's development. So, Dave, if I want to learn something from you that you don't have, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to pass you on to someone else. I'm going to look around my colleagues, my network, to the best possible resource to help you in that area.
Exactly. And that means you'll facilitate.
Exactly. And I think this is, we've hit on an area here, Rennie, that I think is an issue here, certainly here in the UK, this boxed view, as you called it, or limited view of a mentor. A mentor is more than that. This word, if we use the facilitator term, it opens up a whole raft of issues. And what I say to mentors, because some, are maybe a bit nervous about taking on their role if it's the first time they've been a mentor, I say, look, the first thing you need to realize is the development of that mentoree doesn't rest on your shoulders. And mentors don't need to know everything about everything.
That's right.
You're there to facilitate that personal and professional development.
Yep.
And suddenly, the lights go on, the place lights up,
yep.
And there's a different view on mentoring and what the mentor does completely. And I think that's one of the key points in the success of our programs, Rennie.
Yeah, and I think how that gets translated to the matching process is fairly straightforward. If you're sitting down with a matching committee and you look at a list of mentors and a list of mentees, mentorees, and you end up saying, okay, we've got to match based upon who has the knowledge of this particular topic, okay, then that limits the potentials because, if you've got two people in the room who have an expertise in, let's say, financial management, okay, and you've got four mentors or mentorees who want that person, and you can only assign one mentor to one mentee, that means two other people aren't going to get that. And that means, okay, what do? We don't match them or we match with somebody else. And the point would be, if you're thinking about it as strictly knowledge transfer, then those are the kind of decisions you're going to make. If you think about it from the perspective of mentors are facilitators, and although they will have some expertise, and it would be ideal to match a mentee with the mentor that has the expertise the mentee is looking, we don't need to be limited by that.
Exactly.
Because that we can find other people in the company who don't want to serve in the role of mentors, but who have expertise.
That's right.
And
so, therefore, when we're talking about matching, and we're looking at a mentoree who needs specific knowledge areas or skill areas or development areas, and we bring a mentor along who has that, it's only one aspect of the matching process, Rennie.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. And I think, it comes back to the issue, what's the purpose of the match? What's the purpose of the mentoring program? And if your program is designed more from a coaching perspective, you'll be looking and trying to match strictly on knowledge as a primary issue. If you're looking to do it, and then you may end up actually having a coaching program, not a real mentoring program. If you're looking at matching from the perspective, the purpose of the program is to help somebody develop not only knowledge, but as the article says here, insights, which is really what mentoring is very good at, is to develop the sense of development of who I am and how I operate within the business world as well as personally. Then, when you approach matches, you'll approach them in a very different vein than you would if you're approaching it from strictly a knowledge transfer situation.
Yeah.
What I think, though, is important is, at least this article seems to imply that mentoring is not as good in knowledge transfer as it would be in insights, but the reality is mentoring is good in both of those. It's just how you define that.
It's how you define it, Rennie. As you said, it's defining clearly the purpose of the program, what it is you want the program to do in terms of establishing goal areas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know for a fact that a lot of organizations I've been in to see, they've had a mentoring program, but there's no menu, no goal area, nothing that kind of links what the mentor and mentoree are trying to achieve with the strategic objectives of the organization. So what I would like to put forward, Rennie, as a point for consideration, is that matching, it's not in isolation as we're talking about. It starts really at the creation of the program.
Absolutely.
What is this program about? Who are the participants? What are the goal areas? And what I've found, Rennie, when we carry out these design meetings where we sit down with people to talk about their mentoring program, what they wanted to achieve, suddenly we have conversations about the target audience of the program, the thoughts of change now, who is this program really geared at, etc. And I firmly believe that that matching process starts right at the design phase of the program.
I think you're absolutely right, Dave. It's a question of everything that is done in a mentoring program ought to be focused really on the right match and making the relationship work. That really is the reason for having any kind of structure, any kind of guidelines, and any kind of processes, because that's the ultimate purpose, is to have the relationship.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's a question of what kind of relationship do you want to create, what do you want the relationship to do in terms of why you're matching, that, you know, and that gets thought out, as you said, a design process. In thinking things through, you make certain decisions based upon what it is that you want. And that becomes really critical.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
I think that if more people spent time thinking this through at the beginning in the design phase, they would find themselves having much better results instead of just saying, we just want knowledge, and so that's really why we're doing it, or, you know, we're losing our senior people, so we got to put a mentoring program together. So that means putting people together who have some expertise, and that's basically it. And that kind of quick and dirty approach, if you will, to mentoring is always a recipe for disaster.
It is. But I think also, Rennie, we also have some really good tools that have been developed, refined, to really help people with this matching process. It really focuses their mind onto why we're bringing people together and what sort of questions to ask, not just in terms of the knowledge or skills transfer, but also on the style of the mentor and mentoree that each other's looking for. And I think we can talk about this a bit later.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation about matches, details, the devil's in the details.